Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And special blessing today to our parents for bringing your children to the Lord's house this Christmas day. What a gift to them. What a gift to us as we share Christmas in their presence. Because it reminds me just how many of our Christmas expectations and traditions are centered on children. Decorations and lights and customs are often carried forward more for the little ones than for ourselves. At least that's what we tell ourselves. In our house, we're doing a little bit of extra stuff this year because a couple of the grandkids are coming next week. They're bringing their parents with them, but, you know, first things first. We watch the children. We take delight in their wonder and excitement and belief. We're moved as they dress up in the costumes outside or as they act out or as they sing. I should have had them turn around so you could see their faces this morning. And of course, this whole celebration is about the birth of a child, isn't it? And yet, those of us with a few more years than the little ones also know that Christmas isn't always the happiest time with family relationships. Children and adults aren't always that well behaved. We can build up expectations that are different than what the reality is going to be, and we're let down when things don't work out as we thought. Our children get older and they bring others into the family through relationships, and they're so inconsiderate they have their own traditions and customs that may cause friction or priorities. Or people just get on each other's nerves sometimes, right? We're disappointed when that happens, but we shouldn't be surprised as humans gather together. And of course, we should try to overcome all that and strive to show each other love and grace. And you know, I bring all this up, this possibly uncomfortable experience, because Christmas isn't a fantasy. Christmas is God's response to reality. And so there are always some surprises within it, including in our readings. One of the surprises we see is in John's gospel. Now, John doesn't begin with the shepherds or the angels or the manger. He doesn't even tell that basic story. John was written after other gospels, and so it was already recorded. John wrote different things. So instead, he starts with the eternal identity of Christ. The Word, who became flesh. But as that long-expected Savior appears, a tragedy unfolds. John writes, "He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." I mean, can you imagine that even on a family level? That a family member comes to the door today and you slam the door and it's in their face? Who could do such a thing? But here on the greatest of scales, the child who had made the world came into it, and the world didn't recognize him. The true light appeared, and the darkness preferred to stay dark. And that verse prepares us for what follows. John's not only telling us who Jesus is, he's telling us why we need him, who we are. But he also tells us who we may become. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. That's more than ancient history. It's the story of the human heart. We still do it. We can turn away from him when we want his blessings, but not his teaching. When we want comfort, but not repentance. When we're happy with a boy in a baby in a manger, but not a man on a cross. God's word speaks clearly. By our nature, we do not receive him. We do not choose him. We do not make a place for the Christ child. We do not welcome the light. And Christmas doesn't begin with sentimental feelings. It begins with the cold, honest truth. By ourselves, we're estranged. We're not the children of God. We prefer darkness to the light, and we belong there. And yet on this day, God turns it all around. Thank God for his mercy, because we are not on our own. He comes to us. And to all who did receive him, to all who believed in his name, God gives gifts. And please notice what John doesn't say here. He doesn't say, to all who were good and nice and not naughty. He doesn't say to all who behaved well. He doesn't say to all who made themselves worthy by their Advent observances, or though to all those who cleaned up their lives first, or any other condition. To all who believe on his name, which is simply to trust who he is and what he came to do. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And I have to tell you, I stumbled over those words this week. What do you mean I have a right? Of all the times when I say I have no right, this would be it. I have no right to the things of God. But God turns that around. John uses that word deliberately. Right, or authority, or standing. It's not a sentiment. It's not an emotion. It's not something we grow into by effort. It's not something we deserve. It's something given by God. That in Christ, God declares this about you. Through faith, God gives you Jesus standing before him. The right to be a child. The right to call God Father, the right to belong to his household, the right to be his heirs. This is nothing but gospel, pure gift. You're not a child of God because you feel close to him. You're a child of God because God has made it so. He gives you that right. A right that comes not of blood nor of will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Not through our genetics, or our ancestry, or our heritage, or our traditions. Not by our decision, or that of our family. Not on our achievement. It's all God's decision, based on his will, and not yours. Because the Word, God eternal, became flesh and dwelt among us. This day we celebrate the fact that the Son of God wasn't content to send a message. It wasn't shouting from the heavens. It wasn't even another prophet sent by him. It was himself. That he took our flesh into himself, entering our weakness, our hunger, our suffering, our death, so that the children of sinners would be the children of God instead. The Son of God became what we are so that we might become what he is, a child, dearly loved, precious, belonging. And John says, when he comes in this humble way, we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Not the glory of the angels that causes them to need to tell the shepherds to not be afraid. Not glory that crushes or overwhelms. Not truth without mercy. Not grace without holiness, it is grace and truth coming together in the person of Christ, there in a manger, there at a cross, still there and sealed in the resurrection. Grace and truth for you. So what does all this mean for us on this Christmas morning? Friends, it means we belong. We have a place in God's family. We have a place at his table. And in the overflow of his mercy, he even allows us to share it together. No matter your past, no matter your doubts, no matter your fears, no matter how broken this year might have been, the Christ comes to you. And as we receive him, and by faith we do, we have the right to be the children of God. And so we are. The Christ is born, and through him, we are God's children. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Amen.